Tonight's shiur is going to focus on Hilchos Tshuva, and we're going to learn the Rambam, a few of the halachas, and hopefully to cover a few of the halachas and give some insight in the halach of Tshuva, the hashkaf of Tshuva, the musar of Tshuva, and hopefully it'll be something that will be helpful and useful for the yoyim. As we know, one of our main sources for Hilchos Tshuva is the Rambam. We don't have Shulchan Aruch on Tshuva, and the minig is that during El and during Aseres Mitzvah, people look into the Rambam to understand exactly how one goes about to do Tshuva. And the Rambam begins, Kol mitzvah shebetayra ben esay ben lois asay imover odom al achas mehem ben bezodoin ben bishkoga, that all the mitzvahs of the Torah, whether it's an esay or a lois asay, if a person violates one of them, whether it's b'meizit or b'shoigei, kishayasa tshuva v'yoshoiz mechetoi, when he does tshuva and he returns from his chet, chayiv l'svadus l'fnei hakel baruch hu, he is chayiv to say vidui. And the Mitzvah Chinuch learns in the Rambam, as it's evident, that the mitzvah really is not tshuva. The Rambam doesn't say chayiv loshuv, but the Rambam says, as you do tshuva, and after you do tshuva, chayiv l'svadus, you have to say vidui. The mitzvah is vidui. In the pasuk it says, "Ki karav ma'od hadavar v'ficha uvelvav cholasaisai." The Ramban learns that that's the mitzvah of tshuva. It's very close to you, to your mouth and to your heart. Your mouth means vidui. Your heart means tshuva. That all goes into the mitzvah of tshuva. But the way the Rambam presents it, it would seem that the mitzvah is vidui and the mitzvah is not tshuva. However, if you look in the introductory words to the parak, we call it the kepel of the Rambam, which is the Rambam's own words. He says, mitzvah esei achas v'sheyoshuv achayti mechetoi lifnei Hashem v'yisvada. Here he says clearly, the mitzvah is tshuva, not just vidui. Vidui is the confession, it's the words. Chatasi yivisi poshati. And here the Rambam seems to say the mitzvah is tshuva. How do we reconcile what the Rambam says in his introductory words to what the Rambam says b'toich halach? Now, one thing is clear, that vidui means lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're misvada, you're not talking to yourself. You're confessing, you're speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore we find the halach of vidui is mechayiv amida. You have to stand. The halach of vidui, the amiris vidui, is toich shmein esrei. The Goyin Shita is that during Chazaras Hashatz, the Olam doesn't say the vidui. You listen to the Shliach Tzibur, similar to the rest of Chazaras Hashatz, because vidui is part of Shmon Esrei. And there's a svara to say, if you don't say vidui toich shmein esrei, you have to repeat the Shmon Esrei, because it's a chelik of davening. Vidui is speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the yesod and the essence of vidui. And what exactly is tshuva? The Rambam says, "Umahi yetshuva, hu sheyasav achayte cheta." You leave your chet, you conclude in your heart not to do it again. You regret what you did until the Ribbono Shel Olam himself testifies that you won't return to the chet. V'tzarech l'svadis b'svasav v'loimer in yonis elu shagomer b'libay. Vidui really is expressing tshuva, but to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So really, vidin tshuva comes with asachas. When you do tshuva and you express those ideas of tshuva to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is a key of vidui and tshuva masachas, but it's before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Zecharein Levracha, writes in his Sefer Mishnas Rabbaron, there was one time Klal Yisrael couldn't do tshuva. They were paralyzed. And he explains why. Baruch Hashem, we have a Pesach to do tshuva. Why should we be not able to do tshuva? So he gives a mashal, it's very interesting. He gives a mashal based on Rav Aaron Cutler, who he was. It was known, Rav Chaim Volozhin, when he went into the Vilna Gaon, he would shake. He would tremble. Something which we're so removed from. Even when I was a child, I remember some of our rebellion we were a little afraid of. We had some awe, some fear, but now already even that is somewhat lost, diminished idea of Yiras HaKovid, Kovid HaTorah, which is so important to be a Makabal. A person who has a lot of Kovid for a Rebbe is a makabel from the Rebbe. Reb Chaim Volozhin, he would shake when he came, as he puts it, Rav Aaron Cutler, his knees would knock together. He says, imagine a person, imagine Rav Chaim Volozhin did a big avla to the Vilna Gaon, and he'd have to walk into the Vilna Gaon and confess and say, Rebbe, I did such and such to you, I'm so sorry. He would tremble, he would sweat. It would be almost impossible for him to do it. Klal Yisrael didn't realize how they could confess to Rebbe Eichelman. They were embarrassed. What's a nusach havidui? Nichamti, ubaishti. I regret it, but I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to speak to Rebbe Eichelman and tell him what I did wrong. Vidui is speaking to the Rebbe Eichelman. It shouldn't be that easy if we really understand what it's all about. But the aside of vidui, which is wrapped together with tshuva, is the expression of tshuva to the Rebbe Eichelman. Therefore, the Rambam says in his Kepel, V'usheyoshev achayte mechetoi lefnei Hashem v'yisvada. The mitzvah is to do vidui through tshuva, or tshuva through vidui, by speaking to the Rebbe Eichelman. However, when are we mechuyev to do that? Says the Rambam, when you're yoshev mechetoi beinoi lebein atzmecha, when you decide you've had it, you want to get better, you want to change, and you speak to yourself and you say, I won't do this anymore and I regret what I did, that is mechayiv you to do vidui and tshuva with Nei Rebbe Eichelman. So therefore, really, vidui and tshuva is really one and the same to the Rebbe Eichelman. That's the Rambam and his Kepel. However, when the Rambam speaks about tshuva being separate from vidui, Shalom Aleichem. Come in, come in. Please. When the Rambam says vidui and tshuva is the mitzvah, he's talking about lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Rambam says there's a mitzias of tshuva that's mechayiv you to go before the Rebbe Eichelman, that is talking about the tshuva beinoi lebein atzmecha. That's not the mitzvah. But when you come to your personal conclusion that you want to regret, then you go before the Rebbe Eichelman and you speak. That, I think, is the Rambam Shita, that vidui is the mitzvah, tshuva lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mitzvah, but when are you mechuyev to do it? When you decide to yourself that it's time to change. And then the Rambam goes on and says, how are you misvada? On Hashem, chatos yivisi poshat lefanecha. I regret it, I'm embarrassed, and I won't return to my old ways ever again. And the Rambam says, a mischaper, a carbon, or misa, no kapara is forthcoming without tshuva. So I want to say something which I think is so simple, but it's so important, and sometimes people miss it. We think, possibly, at least superficially, Yom Kippur is for bakashas. They ask the Rebbe Eichelman, please help me in my health, help me in my parnasa, which is beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear our tefillas. We think that the yesod of kapara is asking Rebbe Eichelman to forgive us. That's also true. Tefillah is part of tshuva and vidui. But really, the yesod of the days of Elul and Aser Simei Tshuva leading up to Yom Kippur is tshuva. There's no kapara without tshuva. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, could suffer to the nth degree. A person could cry to the Rebbe Eichelman, asking for mechila. He could be so sincere, and he could tell the Rebbe Eichelman, please be meichel me, I beg you. But if you don't do the tshuva, there is no kapara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created tshuva. It's a tremendous chesed. But tshuva is a halacha. A person has to regret what he did. He has to be embarrassed to the extent he can be. And he has to take upon himself that he won't go back the best he can. L'chol tshuva yesh kapara, Rabbeinu Yonah said. If we're going to try to aspire to the darga that the Rebbe Eichelman himself has made, that we won't go back to our old ways, it's going to be very, very difficult. The whole tshuva yesh kapara. But you have to have at least the skeleton of tshuva. You have to have charata, you have to think about what you did, you have to be uncomfortable about it, and you have to take upon yourself that you won't do it again. Without that, Yom Kippur doesn't work. Ein Yom Kippur mitzchaper el l'shavim. You have to do tshuva. And if you don't do tshuva, you're basically not taking the advantage of Yom Kippur. You're not taking advantage of the whole process of mechila. That is pashut, but sometimes we sort of get carried away and we get involved in other good deeds and other good undertakings, but we're missing the boat here. Now, let me tell you an interesting ha'ara, which the Mincha Chinuch raises. It says, Hari nichamti ubaishti, and you start off by saying, Chatasi avisi pashati. Chet is shoygei, avisi is Mezid, and the last one, which is Peshati, is Merid, the rebellion. And the Mincha Tzchinuch says he doesn't understand. Here we have a person, as it's Mashu from the Rambam, he did one chet. So why does he have to say Chatasi Viti Peshati? Let him say Chatasi was a Shaige, or Viti was a Mezid. Why must he say Chatasi Viti Peshati? The Mincha Tzchinuch says, you must be doichet the Rambam, and the Rambam gives you all three Lashonis to cover all three scenarios. But the truth of the matter is, if it's a chet shoyge, you only say chatasi. If it's mezid, you say aviti. But there's no need to say chatasi aviti pashati. But I saw from Rav Shach, the Chayin Levracha, he brings from a goyin that he heard from Briska Rav, he says, Shamati zem in ha-goyin, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik Zev Tzadik Levracha. That when Natan HaNavi went to David HaMelech, and Natan HaNavi told David HaMelech that he was choyte with Basheva or Yachiti, and David HaMelech said, Vayomer David el Natan HaNavi, Chatasi Lashem, then there's a gap in Nach, an empty space, and what does Natan say? Gam Hashem hever chato'echa. What's that gap there for? Why do they have the gap between Chatasi Lashem and Natan responding, Gam Hashem hever chato'echa? Says the Vilna Gaon Aizen. He says, really, he wanted to say Chatasi Yavisi Poshati. He had to say all three. That's what the Rambam says. You can't just say Chatasi. You have to say Chatasi Yavisi Poshati. However, Natan HaNavi, the Navi said, you, David HaMelech, it's enough for you to say Chatasi. Gam Hashem hever psho'echa. It's gone. Or hever chato'echa really is correct. Because all you have to say chatasi. But everyone else has to say chatasi or visi pshati. What's the pshat? So Rav Shach explains somewhat. He says, a person when he does a chet, even though he thinks it's shaygei, but it's hard for him to evaluate it. Maybe it wasn't such a shaygei. Maybe it was mezid. A person, for instance, let's say insults someone or says something bad about someone. And then you find out that the person was crushed, or you find out he lost his parnasa. You go back to the original talk, he says, I didn't know. I'm not responsible for that. I didn't know. Chatasi! I did it b'shoige! We look at the person, are you so sure you would not have taken the moment and done it, even if you know the repercussions? It was such a geschmack, a comment and shul, and everyone laughed and fell off their chair, and you felt so good. Maybe you would have done it anyway, even if you knew the implications are so dramatic and so drastic. So therefore, it's not good enough to klap chatasi, because maybe it's avisi. You didn't have the opportunity to do it b'mezid. But if you were willing to do it b'mezid, you have to say chatasi avisi. David HaMelech was ready to say chatasi avisi. Natan HaNavi Beruach Kotre said, for you, all you have to say is chatasi. For us, we got to say chatasi or visi pashati. A beautiful pshat from the Vilna Gaon, but it also tells us a little bit about ourselves that things are shaygei. Don't be so sure. It may be amazed also, even though maybe these circumstances delude you, but possibly you would have done it anyway, and therefore you have to do introspection even past simple shkoga. You look through the Rambam. I don't want to be more all the Ha'aris and the Rambam, else we'll be here till Lel Rosh Hashanah, but look in the Rambam, there's so many Ha'aris insights in how a person to do tshuva. The Rambam says, we'll go to Amid Bey. Midarki ha'tshuva liyas ha'shov tzayek tamid lefnei Hashem b'bchi u'besachnunim v'yoyses tzachak v'kaychay. The derech ha'tshuva is that a person screams always to the Ribbono Shel'Olam, crying, supplication, and he does tzachak v'kaychay. Says the Balatanya, the Yaita Staka Kafikaiche, very unusual lashon. Tell me, do Staka Chaimish? He says, Chaimish is a limitation in the mitzvah of Staka. But when you're coming, if I could use the American saying, to save your own skin, there's no limit. If you feel you have to give more than a Chaimish in order to get the Kapara, you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for a mitzvah of Staka in the classical sense. A very interesting shot in a very interesting lashon. The Yaita Staka Kafikaiche. But what's this lashon medarki atshuva liyas hashav tzayek tamid? It's slichus. Slichus is part of tshuva, and the Rambam calls slichus tzila. We notice our slichus starts with an ashrei, ends with tiskabel tzolaisen. What's tiskabel tzolaisen? That means accept our tzilas. We say tachnun, So slichus is really a tefila, which is part of tshuva. If it's a tefila, why is it tzayik tamid? The chanim is aberes aliba. Tefila is belachash. Tefila is not bekoil. All of a sudden, this tefila is bekoil. And you find on Yom Kippur, we also scream. It says in the Lechaber, in the Ramah, that you can scream on Yom Kippur. What happens? Tefila belachash. So what I think pshat is, the Mabit, the Beis Elokim, says that there are two tefilas. The regular tefila, which we know every day, is belachash. In fact, he says, screaming is inappropriate. You think your Rebbeinu Shlom can't hear you? If you scream, you're almost saying, I have to talk loud for Rebbeinu Shlom to hear me. However, says the Mabit Be'Sara, when a person is confronted with a Sara, and he's up against the wall, and he doesn't know what to do, he can't think rationally, he can't think logically, and he feels so pressured and so nervous, and he's so afraid, then Sa'aka is the type tefila that that situation is machayev. Yitzhak Moshe Hashem, we find. Moshe screamed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because when it's an eighth Sara, you're supposed to scream. Yancho Hashem be eighth Sara. I saw brought down in the Hakdama to one of the printed Slichis from the El Yozuta, Zu Slichis. It's called Slichis, Yancho Hashem be eighth Sara. Why is it an eighth Sara? Because if a person realizes you may pacha, like the Rambam says, you may yira. These are very difficult days of fear. If you have such fear, it's an Asar, we can't say be calm. If you're calm, you don't understand the importance of the days. You're nervous, you have pachad, you have fear, you understand the gravity of the situation. That already allows you to be tzoyek. That's why in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we have a right to scream to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because we're makir exactly the seriousness of the days. Reb Naftali Trump was the Yeshiva in Radin. Rav Chaim took him, chose him to be the Rosh Hashiva of Rav. And he once asked Rav Naftali to speak before Tekiah Shofar. I've read sometimes when the Chofetz Chaim asked other Rabbanim, Rosh Hashiva, to speak, they were afraid to speak in front of the Chofetz Chaim. Once Rav Moshe Lendinsky, who was a Goyen Olam in Radin, they asked him to speak, a Talmud writes, he refused. They said, but Chofetz Chaim asked you to speak. He says, I speak in front of the Chofetz Chaim. They said, yeah, he says, you're killing me. I'm so afraid. I can't speak in front of the Chofetz Chaim. He said, the Hargit Mir. That's how they felt. But Rav Naftali Trump, he was the Magid Shir there. He spoke. And he said like this. We say, Kiroshim Ukedalim Defakud Lasech. Famous part from Slichus. Like paupers, like poor people, we are pounding on your door. Says Rav Naftali, a person who is normal and regular doesn't go beg when he has a little bit to eat. He'll forego his chicken, he'll forego a lot of his luxuries or even things that are right above necessities because it's degrading to beg. However, when he has to beg because he doesn't have food to eat, he knocks on the door very lightly. It's impolite and it's aggressive. If you're going to pound on the door, you're meek, you're embarrassed. You don't want to upset the person who's going to give you tzedakah. When does the yoni pound on the door? He pounds on the door when he's starving. He pounds on the door when his children are at the edge of fainting, or he knows night is coming and he has no place to sleep other than the street where there are dangerous robbers going. Then he pounds on the door. It says when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, defaknu, what does it say again? Kedalam ukirashim defaknu lasecha. We feel that we're up against the wall. We're trembling. We're so afraid. That's the feeling we have to have. The Rambam says you don't say halal. Why don't you say halal in Rosh Hashanah? It's a yontif. You're chai b'simcha. He says, but not simcha yaseiris. He may pachad v'yira. And if a person doesn't have that elementary feeling of some fear, it's a day of opportunity, but there has to be some fear. You're missing the point. The whole point of slichus, the whole point of Yom Kippur, you don't really understand, and you won't be inspired to do tshuva. Kedalu l'kiroshim defaknu es l'secha. Says Rav Naftali further, why kedalu l'kiroshim? So he said an interesting pshat. He says, Yom Kippur is the psak din for everyone. A person may think what he had before Yom Kippur will have after Yom Kippur. Whether it's his money, whether it's his health, whether it's everything in this world. but we're kedavu mukarashim. We have no chazakis. We're really appearing before the Ribbono Shel. We have to renew our contract. Will he renew it? Bez Hashem, he will. But there's no guarantees. The ownership ends. It's like a kinyan adlamit. There's nothing that a person has for sure. When you come before Yom Kippur, you come before the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're up to ask him, please renew my finances, renew my health, give me everything. But the attitude a person has to have is kedalim kavarashim. He's stripped of everything. He has no guarantees. Going before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, before the Yom Kippur, without attitude, that's the biggest chus. Because a person, when he has such an attitude, will be inspired to do tshuva. But if you go confidently, with some sort of confidence or arrogance, or just not looking into yourself, there's no Yom Kippur, because there's no tshuva, there's no regret, there's no Kabbalah lasid. You have to have a touch of fear, or a lot of fear, in order to be inspired to tshuva. Says the Rambam further. We'll go to next parak. The Rambam says, "Afal pishet ki ashayfer Rosh Hashanah gzeres hakosafu remez yeshbay." Even though ki ashayfer is gzeres hakosaf, there is some hint. Ur yishen the mishnaschem, v'nir damam hekitzu mitargmei seichem chipsu my seichem. The people forget the truth. They go after the stupidities of the time, and they go after things that are not going to help him. They're not going to save him. It's just going to give him eternal misery and punishment. That's what the Rambam said. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky said once before Tki Yishayfer. It says, Tiku b'choy di Yishayfer v'kesel yoyim chageinu tichoyk lu Yisraelu. Tki Yishayfer is a choyk. The Rambam says it's a gzeres hakosav. But mishpat l'leheyakov. But the Rebbeinu Shlom has a reason. Who are Yishayin and Mishnah? That's what his Drush, how he opened up his Divrei Musar, which he spoke to the Bnei Yeshiva. And he asked, he says, why do I have to wake you up? You're learning, whether you're in Yeshiva, you're out of Yeshiva, you're giving staka, you're coming to davening. What is the Rami? Who are you sharing in Mishnasem? We're not sleeping. We seem to have our priorities pretty good, no? If we have our priorities good, what is the Shofar supposed to do? Where's our slumber? Where's our sleep? What is the Shofar doing for us? He said something for Bnei Yeshiva, and I want to mention two things over here, maybe three, that maybe we could use the shofar a little bit to wake us up. There was a member when I was in Yeshiva that said, had Rabbi Kiveger not become Rabbi Kiveger, after 120 years, he'll come before Beis Shemaila, and he's going to be asked, where's Rabbi Kiveger? He said, where was Rabbi Kiveger? I was a prim person. I was maybe even a rov. I learned, I davened, and I gave my tzedakah, never spoke Lashon Hara. But they're going to ask, where is Rabbi Kiveger? Where's that goyin? Where's that tzaddik? Where's that person who was the Gaol Adar? A person is put on this world to develop the best he can. And if a person doesn't develop the best he can, there's a tzia, he wasted his energy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person, he gave him certain talents, whether it was a brain, whether it was resources, it was personality, it was leadership ability. He's going to be asked, why didn't you reach the highest level you can reach? It's not enough to be a frum person. You keep all the mitzvahs, and you learn, and you give tzedakah, but it's not enough. But you could be a lot more. You could be a leader. You could make a difference. And you're going to be asked why you didn't make a difference. You'll say, well, I kept Shulchan Aruch, I did everything right. That's not enough. That's not enough. If a person was created with talent, and let's say he could organize something in the community, a difference in Klal Yisrael, a difference in the community, a difference in the shul, a difference in his house, whatever it is, and you say, I did everything according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's insufficient. I hate to tell you, you're not going to get away scot-free, chas v'shalom, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you talent that you could make a difference, and you could be something, and you could have a leadership role, it doesn't have to be something grandiose. Create a shir. Five people come to a shir. You could have done that. Why didn't you do that? You could get people to go learn. You could get people to do things. You could do a lot of things if you put your mind to it. The terrace is, our priority is Olam Hazeh, like the Rambam says. We're basically running after Olam Hazeh, and we're from people. We don't violate the Shulchan Aruch. But we don't really have our mission in the correct priority. We have our zehiris in mitzvahs, but many of us, a lot of us to different degrees, don't have the priority. What's our mission in life? Our mission in life is to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's it. There's nothing else. There's no two missions. No two missions. There's no mission that a person should be Isaac and Olam Hazeh, and he has also a mission to do good things. There's one mission. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo understands we're a box of a dom. You know, we have to eat, we have to enjoy ourselves a little bit, because that's how he made us. He made us with the guf that holds down in the neshama. But there's a tzia on a person if a person doesn't develop to what he could. Each person according to what he could be. People are different. But each person should understand his mission on this world, that he has to be the best possible person he can be. Rabbi Kivager had to be Rabbi Kivager. Rabbi Aaron Cutler had to be Rabbi Aaron Cutler. But we're all not Rabbi Kivagers, I don't think we'll be, and I don't think we'll be Rabbi Aaron Cutler. But we can be ourselves, whoever we are. But we should put our priorities in the mission where we could be. The other thing I want to mention involves kashrus. Now, I don't think there's a person in this room who didn't hear about the difficulty that happened in Muncie that stretched through other communities, and I can't say if anyone in this person ate from the questionable meat, but it's very likely they did, because you don't have to buy it. You could have gone to a chasna in the atrium, a teres charna, you could be in the mountains. I mean, it was really a horrific, colossal calamity that came upon Clark. So it's amazing. And simply put, what does it mean to us? Could we improve hashgachas? No, I don't know. You know, maybe we could, but that's a longer discussion. But I just want to verbalize something that I think is an important frame of mind that we can learn from kashrus. If something happens, it's a message. Nothing happens just for itself. Chas v'shalom, there's illness in the community, we respond with tilim, we respond with tzilis, we don't just ignore it, we take everything as a message. What's the message? To me, it seems that each person has to approach kashrus the way he approaches his other endeavors in life. This community, and all Baruch Hashem Jewish communities today, are very sophisticated, very savvy, very educated, and if Chas V'Shalom they need a doctor, they know exactly how to find the best doctor. You know, among the Yidden, you know how it is, they have to go to the best doctor, even though they have a war to take, or Kolshke, you know, if there's something seriously wrong, Chas V'Shalom, a person needs legal help, an investment, you go to your best friend, you don't just read it and then invest. Anything that we care about, we know how to investigate to the nth degree. Except one thing, kashrus. We depend on anybody. And the famous Maisa with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I think it's a true Maisa. Shoichet came to town, and a balabas in town said, Shalom Aleichem, what are you? A Shoichet, oh, Baruch Hashem, where'd you learn, Baruch Hashem? I need this chicken. Could you please shaft it for me? Ah, a pleasure. Shafts the chicken, goes through all the movements, and gives him the chicken, and he's very happy. He leaves town. Before he leaves town, he says, I'll be back in a month, but by the way, I'm a little short on cash. Could you lend me $25? Guy says, I just met you. $25, not much, but I just met you, you know. You have any aiden? Any mashkin? He says, I don't understand. You ate my chicken 2 minutes ago. 2 minutes ago, you ate my chicken, and now you can't lend me 25 measly dollars. The Teretz says that's the way it is, because we care about money, and we care about a lot of things in life. We care about kashrus, but not enough. You have to have the same sophistication. I don't have to tell a person who's not a rav, who's not a big Talmud Chacham, who didn't learn Yeridaya, how to find out what's kosher. The same way you found out how to make an investment, you find out it's kosher. You go to people who understand kashrus. And people sometimes become lamdonim, talmid chachomim, and it's beautiful, but what eirechot nem bisurim, who are you trying to fool? It says eirechot nem bisurim, but if you could be medaktik yaiser, you bring the carbon, it's a chet. You're not amazing, but you're a shaygeg. You go to somebody, some questionable guy, and you ask the guy, you know, is it kosher? You know, you wouldn't trust the guy for anything, but for kashrus, you trust him. Without going into details, there are a lot of different things I think we ourselves, according to each person's lifestyle, based upon his rabbanan, based upon where he shops, you know, it's too long and too lengthy to go into certain practical things, which is important also to explore. But one thing I could tell you, if you approach kashrus with the same sophistication, the same concern, with the same energy that you approach anything in your life, your health, your finances, even your vacation. You don't take a vacation unless you check up, it's very good. You ask around, you see a guy, you don't trust him, you ask somebody else. your kashrus. What's with your kashrus? And I don't have to tell you, everyone has their own mices that after they did something, they find out, oy vey vey, it wasn't so 100% glot. We all had a little bit of lapses of proper behavior because we're very hungry. So, therefore, I think, you know, before this Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because such a calamity happened to Klal Yisrael, even though it didn't happen over here, happened some distance away, but it's a siman, it's an Osiris for all of Klal Yisrael. And I think the Osiris means we got to take upon ourselves, we got to improve our kosher standards. How? I don't have to tell you. You're as smart as I am. You'll know what to do. You'll know what to look for. If you have any problem, you speak to a rabbi, you find out, and you'll be able to improve your kosher. I think it's a very, very important thing. The last thing I want to end off with before I tell you Aksilu Simataiva is that the Al-Kulam is Liman HaTaira. The Al-Kulam is Liman HaTaira because without Liman HaTaira, you don't get anywhere. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vitar Al-Gilarayish V'Chazom and Avaydazara. He said, Gilarayish V'Chazom and Avaydazara, I'll forget about, but I won't forget about Bittul Torah. Why not? Bittul Torah is not Yar V'Yavar. The Torah is Pashut. You could be an Oyvid Avaydazara, and you could be a person who is over Arayas, so you could be Ritzeh. But if you're learning, how you're learning, I don't know, but if you're learning, you'll come back. At least you have a connection to Yiddishkeit, you have a connection to the Dvar Hashem. But if you're not learning, there's no way to say that you're going to come back. So it's so important that a person should have a kviyas in learning every day. You know, here we start in the Kotel in the morning. We hope to improve after Sukkot, so we get going again, full blast. There's learning in the morning, 8:30 to 9:30, 6:30 to 7:30. I'm not too sure how many are there, but 8:30 to 9:30, it's growing. But it can only grow with your help. It can only grow with your help. And there's a tremendous opportunity. I don't want to mention the whole thing of Kosko Abramsky said. He said, but you could teach people by not doing something, by talking during davening. You're a chover to your Rav Ben Nevot, the Gemara in Bracha says. Chover l'ish mashchis. And if you do something that a person's inspired, then you're a chavar to a mezakeh, a rabbi. Because if you come out to learn, you can make a difference. You can make a difference. You're one person. Someone else will come. Schlep two guys, schlep three guys. Make a difference. You don't make a difference in life, it's not good. It's not good at all. You got to make a difference. You got to do something. You can't just lay back on the hammock and let things float away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should all be zeichet to a ksivich zivetayv agutik ben shiar with Yeshua, so many tzaris married to Israel, which is a constant source of pain for us that we're mispal in America, and we should all be zeichet to a ksivich zivetayv agutik. Yeah.